first Sunday in the season of Lent, the traditional reading from each of the three Gospels, Matthew and Mark and Luke, is the temptation of Jesus. Longer versions are in Matthew and in Luke. The reading from the fourth chapter, this is the word of the Gospel writer Luke to us. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And also, on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. May God bless this to us, for this is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Jesus is out in the wilderness. He's contending with temptation in the form of the devil offering him different things. It's interesting, as we learned on Tuesday morning at our study, that Jesus responds not once but three times by quoting from Deuteronomy, from the law, the second giving of the law. He quotes Scripture to refute the temptations. And the third time, the devil's starting to wise up, so then he quotes not once but two different Scriptures to Jesus. So it's a very interesting kind of interplay that's going on between the two in the wilderness. But here's a question. What is wilderness? What is wilderness? Well, of course, one image that comes to mind is of some kind of a frightening, disorienting place that's desolate and it's away from what is familiar and safe. I recall one instance where someone felt they were in the wilderness. It was the time of my college graduation, and one of my classmates' mother came to our small college town in South Carolina for the first time ever, driving in a car with her husband. In fact, he grew up in Palisades Park, and his mother had never been outside the lights of New York City. They had driven all day from New Jersey, just across the Hudson. It was getting late. It was a moonless night. It started getting dark. And they were driving in their comfortable block-long black Cadillac, cruising along. But now, there were no blocks. There were no buildings. There was only an endless ribbon of U.S. highway asphalt in their headlights. There were no streetlights. There were no towns, not even a house to be seen on U.S. Highway 46, I think it was. It was pitch black. And for over half an hour, without seeing any lights whatsoever other than their headlights before them in the ribbon of road. And so by the time that his parents arrived in the town of Due West, South Carolina, she had to be sedated by the town doctor. She was so panic-stricken. She was having a full-blown panic attack out in this wilderness that convinced her that her doom was imminent. You know, it's interesting. I find those dark southern highways peaceful to drive on at night. The glare of the lights and the traffic of Route 1 in New Jersey, or Route 35, or the Garden State, that seems like a wilderness to me. So one person's wilderness is another person's paradise, I suppose. So maybe we need to start fresh with this passage instead of kind of imprinting our own wilderness on it. The dictionary suggests that wilderness is, first of all, an unsettled, uncultivated region left in its natural condition. And indeed, while the so-named wilderness of Judah is where Jesus and John the Baptist and numerous prophets wandered, it is rocky and barren to look at, but it is not always to be feared and avoided. Wilderness, you see, in the biblical sense for the Hebrew people, had a different purpose. It served as a very important symbol, this wilderness. See, for the Hebrew people, wilderness was a place where you wandered and you pondered and you waited and you watched and you sometimes learned until you found God or until God found you. Wilderness was the place that the Hebrews wandered for 40 years until God finally led them into the Promised Land. It was a period during which the Israelites were totally dependent upon Yahweh, God, upon the divine presence, upon the law that God had given to Moses. And God was considered their king as they wandered about the wilderness. By the time of Jesus, the wilderness wandering of the Israelites was viewed by the Hebrew people nostalgically as a pure time of dependence upon God, when the people were not burdened with human kings. Because you see, after King David and King Solomon, kingship for the Israelites became a failed experiment. Wilderness is all over the Bible. Wilderness had been the context of Noah's covenant, albeit a wet wilderness. 40 days and 40 nights of rain upon the ark. Oh, there's that 40 again. Wilderness was the time Moses spent on Mount Sinai with God to get the tablets of the Ten Commandments, during which Moses did not eat or drink. He fasted. Wilderness was the experience of the prophet Elijah hiding out on Mount Horeb for 40 days, neither eating or drinking until God called Elijah forth. And do you remember from the text last week that was preached on Transfiguration? I'm sure you remember it. Well, who appeared with Jesus? Moses and Elijah, who spent the 40 days without eating or drinking. You see, there's all kinds of biblical connections going on here. Essentially, the wilderness may not be comfortable, and forced fasting may not be your idea of spiritual discipline, but the biblical image of wilderness is that it's a place apart. It's a place where one comes to terms with himself or herself. Wilderness is a place where one confronts the temptations and the experiences of our so-called normal life when they tend to be elevated over trust and love of God. Wilderness is a time of searching your soul and of finding your soul. And finally, wilderness can represent the waiting that is necessary just to allow God access to you instead of trying to seek out God on your own terms. And that's why Jesus was out there, wherever out there happens to be in your experience. Jesus had to remove himself from what was familiar and what was routine. Remove himself from his carpenter's trade, from his Nazareth persona, from the expectations which probably even Jesus held for a while, that a militarily successful, politically astute Messiah was the leader that Israel needed. Jesus needed to ask in his wilderness experience, who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus? What does God want of me? And ironically, the temptations when they came, as with a bowl of chocolate, were not bad things in themselves. You think about it, why shouldn't the messianic king who had available power create bread out of rocks if he is famished? Why shouldn't he awe the people with miraculous power and validate who he is? Why shouldn't he subdue the kingdoms? It's what the people want. No, Jesus, like Elijah and like Moses before him, realized that God's choice is to be known first in the deep places of our souls. And only then and thereafter in the arenas of society. And so the temptation is to take what is normal and normally good and elevate it to be our first priority, our focus of trust and confidence into what we actually functionally worship. When we elevate those things, we convince ourselves that, well, this is God's will. It's what God wants. And we even stop asking what God truly wants. And that's why we have this season of Lent. The season of Lent is a time apart with God for how many days?
40.
For 40 days. Yes, the season of Lent. If you don't count the Sundays, the other days from Ash Wednesday until Easter morning total 40 days. Because Sunday is the Lord's Day. But the other days totaled together equal 40. And what about this idea of giving something up for Lent? Well, it only makes sense if you give up something which distracts you from God. And I'm glad chocolate does not distract me from God. Unless it's too much chocolate. But the idea of Lent is not, and I just repeat this, it is not deprivation. But rather, it's a spiritual exercise to create some wilderness, some unsettled, uncultivated region in our hearts where we can encounter God afresh. And my guess is that in the process, we'll discover what temptations tend to put themselves in the rightful place of God in our lives. Things like work, schedules, material possessions, competitiveness, social media, whatever. Whatever it is that consumes us to the point that we elevate it higher than our devotion to God. Everyone's wilderness is different. And so will each person's temptations. But then we, like Moses coming down from the mountain, like Noah leaving from the ark, like Elijah venturing out of his mountain cave, like Jesus returning from the wilderness of Judah, we must come into our world. And with that, we bring that of God which we have found or which has found us. And then we live life with God as the focus of our trust and hope. And then, only then, will the wilderness have fulfilled its spiritual purpose for us. Only then will the season of Lent be Lent. So friends, the wilderness is not necessarily bad. In fact, it may be necessary. If we're going to perceive God at all in the midst of our hectic lives and our turbulent times. I'd just like to suggest there are two things to keep in mind for this Lenten journey that we have and Easter destination. The first is that while we don't leave that wilderness experience completely behind us, we do need to move beyond it. We don't want to just kind of stay in the wilderness where we feel that we're just communing with God but not re-entering the world. God calls us to something beyond making contact with God. We are to be God's people in the world. A few years ago, there's a woman named Paulette who was reflecting in the Upper Room devotional that many of us read. And she reflected that she expected, when she had made a commitment to Jesus Christ, that suddenly everything in her life was going to be wonderful, instant happiness and fulfillment from that moment on. Wrong. She said she still, from time to time, felt a sense of emptiness. And then she read this passage of Jesus' temptation from the Gospels, and where Jesus said, a person does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And it spoke to her personally. And it said to her that we need that special awareness of God's presence and care to carry that experience with us always, but we need to move forward. We need to nurture ourselves with new encounters and to use this faith we've experienced. And in that way, our solitude with God strengthens us for our service of God in daily life. And our daily life calls us to draw from that wellspring of solitude. And it becomes a cycle of being with God and being for God. Now, we're all different, so there's no formula I can stick out there for you. Our wilderness time with God will be as diverse as Moses' mountain, Elijah's cave, Jesus' rocky Judean terrain, the Israelites' Sinai desert, Noah's flood. And yours doesn't even need to be a place at all. But use this Lenten period, this 40 days, wisely and well to discover what your wilderness place is. Find a way to spend time with God alone. Listen in your heart for God's word to you. Expect to be found and moved by a presence you haven't felt before. And then when Holy Week comes, it indeed will be a holy week. For with Christ can be crucified whatever it is that holds you back from a full life. And with Christ can be resurrected the joy and hope of living for which you hunger and thirst. The purpose of Lent is not to wander aimlessly and endlessly in whatever wilderness you experience. The purpose of Lent is to take that experience with you into the promised land that God sets before you. So this Lent, wait. And listen and hope and expect and embrace the God who finds you in your wilderness solitude.